Justin Trudeau's brother exposes the Prime Minister of Canada as a pawn of the World Economic Forum. As the world watches the Freedom Convoy, the Canadian truckers take off their toques and pray for an end of the Great Reset. One man shouts down the globalist Pope, while another calls on Pope Francis to repent. All that plus a special guest tonight from the Remnant Underground.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Matt. This is the Remnant Underground. We've got a great show tonight, including, for the first time in a little while, we've got a guest, special guest coming in. Most of this audience, I think, is going to be very familiar with him. He was a hero over the past year or so, or a couple of years, I should say, the COVID crazy. He'll be joining us in a few moments. But first, just kind of a quick follow-up on to what, in my opinion, is the most exciting story that's happened in a long time. That's these Canadian truckers who are looking like they're digging in. It's great. This is a war, a very public, I would say, the most public protest since this got started. You cannot ignore this. This is a war against totalitarianism in Canada, and I think we have an obligation to make sure that the media do not succeed in making this thing disappear, and canceling it like it's not happening, like it never happened. Every one of us has got to use social media, has got to use every means at our disposal to continue to support these guys and to get the word out on what they're doing and what they're saying, and that's what I want to do tonight. Because the thing is, friends, what we're living through right now, of course, is historic, and the old adage is that those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, and of course that's happening to us. That's happening in spades right now. And at every level, I was looking at a photo of Klaus Schwab the other day, and all of a sudden something just struck me like, oh my gosh, we even have the same bad guys are coming back. Klaus is more of the evil James Bond ghoulish guy. 100 years ago, we had this guy, Aleister Crowley. I'll have Walter throw his image up on the screen. Look at the similarity between these two bad guys. Talk about history repeating itself. Here's Crowley, the occultist. He used to call himself the Beast 666. He was a Christ-hating son of a gun. And look at the similarity to Klaus Schwab. My father was in the U.S. military during World War II. He spent 3 years fighting the Nazis. And I used to wonder, how did the German people go along with the Hitlerian madness? How did that happen? Because I knew from my father's stories, he was fighting in the Wehrmacht. He was fighting his own cousins. And so how did people go along with this? Well, isn't it something what we've learned, what you and I have learned over the past 2 years? Over the past 2 years, we've all discovered exactly how the Nazis took control of the German people, how they brainwashed them, how they got the job done in Germany. They used fear, they used propaganda, they used mass psychosis, they used intimidation. CNN's got nothing on Joseph Goebbels. In fact, Joseph Goebbels, I'm sure, would be envious of the technology that CNN has at its disposal to do the same thing. Scare the heck out of people so that you can control them through fear. That's what we lived through. You know, when we were kids, we learned about the mad emperors of Rome, people like Caligula. What did this clown do? He put his horse in the Senate. He was just out there like a planet. They had become so corrupt, the Roman emperors, that they lost their minds and then went on to rule as maniacal lunatics. Sort of like what we have going on right now.
Get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. Get vaccinated.
And remember, the tyrants, like the tyrants of history, are small-minded little tyrants like Justin Trudeau and Biden and the rest of these guys are some of the dumbest in history. And they're very adept at underestimating their opposition. They have no clue. They have no answer. They have nothing to say. Not even a vague understanding of people who are relying on God, who love their country, who are patriots, who love their families more than government, power, and control. They don't know what to do with that. They don't know what to do with us. So what's going on then in Canada right now is extremely important.
The convoy converges on the Capitol, police confirming the crowd size is comparable to a pre-pandemic Canada Day in Ottawa. Thousands of people facing the extreme cold in what they say is a fight for freedom.
People say, how long are they going to hang out in Ottawa? How long is this going to, how long can they possibly stand and make this this position heard around the world? Well, the reality is it could be a while. Because remember, if you know anything about these big tractor trailers, big semi-trucks, it's a pretty amazing vehicle. The trucks are outfitted with refrigerators, little stoves, storage for food and water, heat. It's pretty self-contained. I don't know if you've ever been inside one of these cabs. I used to work for a trucking company. I'll tell you, I could live in one of those trucks. Check it out. This is what it looks like on the inside of the big trucks. They are self-contained, and they can stay out there for months and months and months, making them the wake-up screaming nightmare of our globalist friends. They are independent in mind and body and spirit. They are self-sufficient with their trucks. And, wouldn't you know it, they're God-fearing men of prayer.
In heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And the other thing is, these God-fearing, praying men, these gentlemen, they love their children. Most of them are family men who love their children.
Whoever these people are, they had their kids do up a bag with a cookie in it for the truckers, and they attached a note with it, put their artwork on there. Sorry, I'm getting emotional again. I'm going to show you what it was, and this is why we're doing what we're doing. Some little kid made this. Reach for the stars, we believe in you. And it was a picture of a truck. Inside of it, they left a note. The note says, "Dear Mr. or Mrs. Trucker, it's really awesome that you're standing up for human rights. I'm only 11, so I don't know much about it, but I believe what's happening is wrong. And I know you can do it. Sincerely, Kate." And she's got a cookie in a baggie for a trucker. This is absolutely amazing, and this is why we're doing it. All you parents out there that know what's going on, God love you for letting your kids know. I'm going to sign off. Please just share this everywhere. This is amazing.
Oh, man. I mean, my heart goes out to this guy. We all, in a way, feel like it. It's the little things. It's the little cookie. It's the little child. It's the little things about the old normal, about family and country and life and flags and God and religion and friendship. Right? That's what we miss. That's what they're trying to take away from us. Who hasn't felt similar to this man? Can we just go back to the old normal? Can we just give our children a life again? You know? That's why this man's crying, trying to keep it under control. You see? And I would say about that man, that gentleman, that hero, I would say compare that to Klaus Schwab and his transhumanized moronic plan for the future to turn us all into robots. Reset that guy, Klaus. I'd like to see you try. It would be fantastic, in fact, to see Klaus Schwab peddling his crap in the presence of that gentleman in Canada driving his truck. Can you imagine what that guy would do with Klaus Schwab reimagining everything? And you better hurry up, Klaus, if you're going to make any headways with guys like that and guys like us. Because guess what? They are winning people over. You have become a punchline and a joke, Mr. Schwab. Why, those guys are convincing people all over the world to give up on your great reset. Here's the premier of Saskatchewan, for example.
Hi, everyone. There's been a lot of discussion lately about whether it's time for us in Saskatchewan to look at ending all of the remaining COVID measures and restrictions that we have in place. Well, I think it is time. That's what I am hearing, and that's what our MLAs are hearing from most of their constituents.
And he's not alone. The Premier of Saskatchewan obviously has believed this for some time. The Premier of the People's Republic of Quebec, arguably the most Nazi-esque lockdown since COVID got started up in Quebec, where heart goes out to our brothers and sisters in Quebec. But wouldn't you know, 2 days after the convoy landed in Ottawa, what happened? But the premier of Quebec decided to call off the tax plan. They were going to tax the unvaccinated. He decided maybe we won't do that, not right now anyway.
We'll continue to try to reach those who refuse to receive their first dose. But I'm also worried about the division we see in Quebec. My role is to try to bring Quebecers together to stay united as a people. This is why we won't go ahead with the health contribution. I understand that this divides Quebecers, and right now, we need to build bridges to listen to each other. Quebecers must remain united. Thank you.
So much for Klaus Schwab's two classes of citizens, right? The vaccinated and the unvaccinated. By the way, here at Remnant TV, our heart goes out to the vaccinated folks. They were just trying to get through this. They were just trying to do their part to flatten the curve and get back to the way things were. And now they're going, what the heck, man? I did this. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 jabs, and I'm still getting the disease, and I'm still spreading it around, and I still can't go to a bar. It's insane. They got up to 4 shots in Israel now. I don't know what's going to happen in Israel. It's like, oh, good night, Tevye. Don't forget to brush your teeth, and then take that other vaccination shot, too, before you go to sleep, sweetie. How far is this going to go? You know, that's what the Canadian truckers are saying. What are you doing? It's not working. Have you noticed? It's not working. You got blue collar dads and moms, sons and daughters up in Canada, patriots, freedom fighters. And you know what their message is? Their message is simple, friends. Let's just be frank. What they're saying is Mr. Schwab, Mr. Gates, Mr. Biden, Miss Trudeau, you can put your great reset where the sun don't shine, because we're done.
It is a global cultural movement which is pushing back against Build Back Better, against cultural Marxism, against progressivism, against Klaus Schwab, against Bill Gates, against the World Economic Forum. For everybody that says the Great Reset and all that stuff is a hoax, there is a book called COVID-19 and the Great Reset written by Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum. Just so you'll know, Prime Minister Trudeau on his website supports the Great Reset.
Now, it's no wonder that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, lovingly referred to as the little ferret, one of Klaus Schwab's young global leaders, he is one of our young global leaders. No wonder Trudeau is freaking out.
Small fringe minority of people who are on their way to Ottawa or who are holding unacceptable views that they're expressing do not represent the views of Canadians.
These views are unacceptable. You will not be permitted to have these views, not in my country.
Right out of the movies, once again, unacceptable views. I'm curious, Comrade Ferret. What do you mean by that? And I'm not the only one who's curious. What are you going to do with those who harbor unacceptable views? You got camps lined up for them? Is that what you're going to do? Maybe run some medical experiments on those people with the unacceptable views? Lots of people want to know what you're going to do, Justin, with those who have the unacceptable views. Not just us, not just conservatives down here in the United States. Certainly not just traditional Catholics. Your own brother, Justin. He's out there on Facebook and social media. Your own brother is saying, holy cow, eh? What happened to Justin? Here's Justin Trudeau's brother.
The divisive language that's come from your brother, our PM, would you say that he is guilty of hate speech with the comments that he's made?
I would say that is one of the things that he is guilty for. And for Justin to come out with his statements yesterday and say that, you know, it's unacceptable. They're holding views that are unacceptable. Like, what does that mean? Like, unacceptable to whom? Like, to mm-hmm. you?
Everybody's seeing through this. Everybody knows what's going on. And the more people speak out, like Justin Trudeau's half-brother have done, the less time these people have to pull this thing off, their great reset. And that's what this is all about. It's all about Davos. It's all about the reset. It's all about the World Economic Forum and their stooges in D.C. and, yes, in Ottawa, as Justin Trudeau's brother pointed out.
I truly believe that he believes that what he's doing is the right thing, even if he knows that it's you know, the WEF agenda, that he believes that this is the right thing to do. That he believes
WEF agenda,
that
meaning World Economic Forum,
yeah, like, you know, Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution agenda. You'll own nothing and be happy. And, you know, we bring about universal basic incomes. We load central bank digital currencies on people. We implement social credit systems, you know, onto the population. This is all these, like, you know, these are amazing, like, you know, hysterical, tyrannical dreams, in my opinion. And, like, you know, and but they have been slowly implementing them. And it requires more than just governments. Government's just one arm of it. Look, tech, media, pharma, all are working together in this giant charade.
This is not just Justin Trudeau's brother. It's not just Michael Matt. This message is getting out all over the place. And that's why they're pulling back a little bit. Here is, for example, the president of Belarus.
Сегодня коронавирус стал явлением управляемым. Два с лишним года тому назад я вам об этом говорил, что это будет. У него появились свои бенефициары, миллиардеры во всем мире, это уже факт, значительно нарастили состояние, заметно увеличился разрыв между очень богатым и остальным населением. Богатые стали еще богаче, а бедные еще беднее. По данным Давосского форума, наибольшую прибыль получили собственники производств IT-индустрии и фармакологии. Теперь это связанные бизнесы. Иными словами, загнали всех по домам, дали гаджеты, подменили реальность метавселенной и пичкают лекарствами. Разве эта мафия откажется от триллионов своей прибыли? Поэтому и дальше нагнетает панику, а вакцины становятся элементом большой политики.
But the little ferret up in Canada, he's worried about the unacceptable views that are coming out of the cabs of some of these trucks.
I believe that COVID is a political thing worldwide more than anything else.
Kids don't know what to do. They don't know how to deal with this all. It's weird. It's awful. And then our political parties are pretending that this is normal. This should just be accepted by people. No, this is not normal at all.
Look what they're doing to her. She's a normal person. Like, what's happening? What are they doing? They're scaring people now, terrorizing them, making a young mother like that have to leave her home and go out and protest for the sake of her kids, what the government, what the globalists, what Davos and people like this are doing right now. Don't you get it? They're scaring normal people. That's how off the charts they have become. You know, and their country, to the extent that they go along with this, their countries have let these people down. The church has let them down. I saw one of the rallies up in Ottawa the other day where somebody got on a megaphone and said, the Catholic Church has let us down. Well, of course, the Catholic Church has let them down. The Catholic Church has been the moral authority for these animals as they try to crush the life out of us, out of our children, out of normal family life in this country and all over the world. Yes, the church has let them down. And they've had enough. We've all had enough of the lunatics of Davos, including, maybe especially, this guy.
Che sono degli apostati, che sono i persecutori della Chiesa, che hanno rinnegato il loro battesimo. Anche questi sono a casa? Sì, anche questi. Tutti. I bestemmiatori, tutti. Siamo fratelli. Questa è la comunione dei santi.
Now, my Italian isn't much, but I think he's saying something about the fact that, Francis, God rejects you. You cannot destroy the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. You have no right. Well, see, this guy is just like the truckers. Now, I know we're supposed to look at that and say, oh, he's raising his voice in the Paul VI audience hall, where there's a giant serpent, by the way.
Well, some people say that the Pope Paul VI audience hall looks something like a huge serpent. I think that's... I just can't imagine why they... why anyone would think that.
Somebody designed the Paul VI audience hall to look like a snake. Nothing weird there. Pay no attention to that. Anyway, this poor guy gets up and starts shouting because he's at the end of his rope over what Francis is doing. He's just like the truckers. They're at the end of their rope. Their lives are being taken away from them. He starts shouting. When one doesn't do that, he starts shouting. But you know what? You know what he's doing? You know what the man in the clip is doing? He's harboring unacceptable views. And you know why his views are unacceptable? Francis took the time out from his busy schedule spewing heresy to explain to everyone that the man who had just raised his voice was crazy.
Alcuni minuti fa, una persona che gridava, sgridava, che aveva qualche problema, non so se fisico, psichico, spirituale, ma un fratello nostro in problema. Io vorrei finire pregando per lui, il nostro fratello che soffre, poveretto, se sgridava è perché soffre, ha qualche bisogno. Non essere sordi al bisogno di questo fratello.
That's right, oh great listening Pope. Yes, listen to the crazy little man who dared to object to what you're doing. Listen to him, or at least pretend to be listening to him. I have an idea. Francis, you're so good at listening. Your whole church is all about listening. How about you put a sock in it and listen to this guy for a while?
Last July, in his letter accompanying Traditionis Custodis, Pope Francis declared his intention to eradicate the traditional liturgy. He impossibly claimed the Novus Ordo constitutes the unique expression of the lex orandi of the Roman Rite. It is important to withstand the Pope on this publicly. One reason is to save his soul. One good thing that might come from all this is that if all of us learn that there is nobody on earth, no prime minister, no president, no bishop, no cardinal, no pope, no one has the authority to close all the churches or to try to ban the traditional mass. Because the Antichrist will want to do that. And what's going to happen if we're so stupid that we say, oh, well, this leader has said it, so we have to do it. No, we need to be immunized now against this folly.
Oh, my goodness. I would like to play that entire, I think it's what, 13-minute address from Father Maudsley? With the link down below, please check it out. Please share it. Please get it out, because you felt it, right? I mean, I the first time I heard it, a good friend of mine sent it to me, and I listened to it, and I suddenly was overwhelmed. The power one good priest who's not afraid, who's not kissing up to anybody, who knows he has to defend his flock, the power that he has as a knight of Our Lady, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, as a priest, to act like a man and like a champion and like a soldier and a general and to say what needs to be said. If one priest can make you feel that way, imagine what 600 priests or 700 priests, imagine if every traditional priest found a way to get that message out just like that. We're done. We are going to obey Christ, not Francis and his globalist friends. So the link for that message from Father Maudsley is down below. Please feel free to share it far and wide. Because what we're seeing, and it's good news, what we're seeing are people waking up all over the place. We're seeing priests, we're seeing truckers, obviously, moms and dads, homeschool families, nurses, doctors, people all over the place. And you know what they're doing? By speaking out, they're putting these globalists on defense. And thank God for every one of them that's doing it. We need more. But the ones that are doing it are leading an important and holy charge. And our next guest tonight is included among them.
And there is no weather, and there is no force or principality in heaven and on earth that can stop us from offering the sacrifice of the Mass.
Never gets old, Father. He is Father John Eckert. He's a military chaplain. He's a diocesan priest. He's a two-fisted priest. Great friend of Remnant TV's. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Father. How's it going? How you doing?
Michael, good to see you. I'm doing really well. Thanks.
Good. You know, you are, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure you are the original parking lot priest. I think we maybe even coined that name for you a long, seems like a long time ago now, a couple of years ago. That's when they shut us out of our churches. They said the church was not essential. And you went out in your parking lot, Father. You set up a parking lot church rather than comply. Walk us through that, first of all. Why'd you do that?
Absolutely. It will be 2 years when we hit Lent. It was really at the start or early in Lent that worldwide, starting in Rome, then Italy, and then like dominoes within a week or so, it seems like the entire world was shut down as far as the churches go. And once we were put on notice here locally in your home state, I strategized and spoke to some others, and I concluded that if we can't bring the faithful into the church, we'll bring the church out to the faithful. And the best way to do that, although it's Minnesota in winter, was the parking lot. And so that's when we immediately went to the parking lots of my two churches. And we also, in order to facilitate during the winter time when car windows might need to be closed and so on, being able to get audio, not only visual watching what was happening, we started broadcasting it on a local broadcast frequency. And at that time, I went into Facebook as well. It took a pandemic to get me on social media, but I went onto Facebook so, again, people could follow it in their vehicles, either on the radio or on Facebook.
You know, it's just amazing, Father. I mean, the idea was simple. I don't know if you came up with this idea of the truck, renting a truck. We're going to get to the fact that we may need to pull that truck out again and use it again. But I wanted to know, I mean, we actually had a fairly significant historical the development that I suspect came out of the example that you showed by refusing to comply with these draconian measures, and that is the bishops of Minnesota. Not too long after that, after we were having Mass every Sunday in the parking lot, they pretty much defied the governor. I'm curious, Father, do you think there's a connection between what was happening in your parking lot and our bishop's courageous decision to say, you know what, we're going to open the churches up?
I believe so. I do know that some priests who were part of the advisory group to the archbishop told me later, they confided in me that because we had gone to the parking lot, that opened the door to other parishes, other pastors, being creative and finding ways to make the Mass and the sacraments available to the faithful, not simply by electronic means, but by physically being present. And so it opened the door to that. And I like to think that it emboldened pastors and bishops to do the right thing and to not allow a secular fallen world to dictate to us and determine that churches and the practice of true religion, in effect, are non-essential.
Mm-hmm. You know, Father, it's interesting because I think we're far from out of the woods on a number of levels here. Things might be arguably are going to get worse with respect to the practice of the faith. But it is interesting. I've got an 8-year-old son, or he was 8 years old at the time that you were in the parking lot. And I got to tell you, Father, it almost seemed like there's a chance that this lockdown backfired, because my children have never forgotten the example of seeing Father out in the parking lot in the snow in a truck having the Mass, refusing to shut down the Mass. I think, I hope that's the case with many other people, I hope and pray that's the case, there was an incredible example of militant Catholicism that came out of that I suppose they didn't anticipate when they shut us down. Do you agree?
I agree. You know, some pastors said to me or expressed to others that they found it irreverent to bring the Mass out to the parking lot. And I go back to the very earliest church in the time of persecution. They went into catacombs. Hmm. They went into the abode of the dead in order to be able to continue to have Mass. And so I see it as no more irreverent, but a contingency plan, if you want to look at it that way, as to what we do to keep the Mass and the sacraments available to the faithful. It's interesting that there were many people, not my brother priest, but others that tried to sabotage us all along the way. That included neighbors who had nothing to do with the church but had an animosity towards us, and some others who continually harassed us and attempted first through police and local legislation to shut us down, and then went to the bishop's office weekly to try and shut us down with lies, all lies, fabrications, and exaggerations. But finally, the Chancery sent out a representative on Holy Saturday to our parking lot to inspect, if you will, or see what we were doing with our U-Haul trailer that had been dressed up as fittingly as we could. By the way, it just so happened that truck that we rented had an image of a giant dove or bird on it, so it looked like the paraclete on the side of what we were using for protection and as the facility for our mask, but came out and saw firsthand that what we were doing was legitimate and that there was no cause for concern.
You know, Father, it's interesting. This might be a bit controversial, but I'm curious to see what your thoughts are about what we can expect not next, because we all anticipated that this past 2 years was a setup for something worse. And I hope and pray the wheels are coming off. We've been talking about that tonight to some degree, but they're not going to give up. And one of the most distressing things is that the church's role, the human element of the church in all of this, we may be returning to that parking lot. I pray God that doesn't happen. But now we have the Pope himself who's banning the traditional Latin Mass. We're beginning to seriously cut down, curb it, restrict it. And I'm wondering, why is he doing that? And is there a connection? In other words, when they shut down the whole world for a time, and they said the Catholic churches needed to shut down just like everything else, and then, you know, men like yourself, a lot of other priests around the country began to have these parking lot masses, they were not going to comply. Is there a connection to traditional Catholicism's fervor and fidelity to the faith to the extent that we would go to the parking lot? Is this what Francis is concerned about when he wanted, I guess, to be showing us that, or showing his globalist friends that he could, in fact, shut the church down? It didn't happen with respect to traditionalists. Am I reading too much into what we were doing or what you were doing over COVID, or is there a connection to now this next move to seemingly severely restrict the Latin Mass?
No, you're not exaggerating. And you know, because you are part of my parish, that throughout the two-year period when churches were being shut down and all sorts of restrictions were put in place, even when we were allowed back in, that our numbers have dramatically increased, dramatically, such that I'm now running 7 masses on a weekend in order to fit everybody into the churches to accommodate this. And this is a phenomenon that others have experienced as well, particularly among the traditional faithful. And what it represents is a massive influx of new souls from the Novus Ordo world, no doubt out of at least a conservative background and ideology, into the traditional world. So this is a perfect example of how something evil, namely shutting down churches, can occasion, by God's grace and our cooperation, something extremely good. So our numbers have increased so much that I've added the numbers of masses that we have available here locally. That has happened elsewhere with the traditional mass. And so, again, this has been true over and over again throughout the history of true religion, throughout the Christian era. Whenever the church is persecuted, it becomes the occasion for some greater good. And we have certainly witnessed that this past year. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, a number of parishes, if not a majority of parishes in our archdiocese, are struggling right now financially, because when you lose the faithful in their presence, you monetarily suffer. We have never done better in numbers and in support for our parish.
It's just so heartbreaking, Father. I mean, I know that to be true. I helped find pew space for your parishioners every Sunday. And we're running out of pew space, Father. The church is packed out, as you say, several masses per Sunday. What's going on? Why are they shutting down the church? I mean, I think I know the answer. I can guess at it, but I'm curious. What do you think? Why, in the middle of a pandemic, are they actually taking measures to shut down the one thriving, growing entity within the church, namely the traditional Catholic movement?
We have to recognize that there's something bigger and more powerful than human effort, fallen human effort involved, that the prince of this world ultimately intends to diminish and eliminate to the degree that he can the sacred in this world. And what activity, what reality in this world is more sacred than the sacraments, but specifically the Mass and the presence of Christ on earth in the Holy Eucharist. So when you shut down or severely curtail the number of Masses and the ability of the faithful in particular to attend or be present for that, consider how much you have diminished channels of grace and the presence of God in the world, which allows for more power on the part of the Prince of Darkness.
Exactly right, Father, and you've been doing it. I think we need to find ways. I should mention right now that if any of this video is edited, which we may have to do so it doesn't get pulled down immediately from YouTube, the entire exchange that we're having will be available at remnant-tv.com. Well, that's it for us, friends. Thanks for joining us tonight. Please don't forget to like this video. I don't know what's going on with big tech, but they seem to be kind of weaseling out a little bit. We're not getting harassed nearly as much as we had been. So there is every reason to subscribe to Remnant TV here at YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe to our other channel, remnant-tv.com. And come visit us. Come visit us at remnantnewspaper.com every day. We have articles going up probably every 3-4 hours now covering all of these topics. So stop by and see us. Click the link below to get my free e-letter if you want to find out exactly what we're doing. But mainly, stay in touch, because 2022 is going to be a bumpy ride. So we need to stay in touch and keep fighting, keep going after him. I'm going to close out the show tonight with something kind of fun, a special little thing from a dear friend of ours, a man who lives in Ireland. I believe he lives in Dublin. He heard about the truckers. He saw our coverage, saw our last show. He sent me a little note saying, I just had to do something to express my solidarity, my love, and appreciation for the Canadian truckers. So here, all the way from Ireland, a man named Christy Bracken, an elderly gentleman who's a dear friend and a traditional Catholic, he's going to sing us out tonight as RTV's way of kind of letting the truckers know, a message to the truckers. Traditional Catholics, now you got a lot of support from all cross sections of society, but be confident, be sure that traditional Catholics are on your side all over the world, including in Ireland. Traditional Catholics are standing with you, and in this case, they're even writing songs in honor of you, the Canadian freedom fighters. God bless every one of you. Keep on trucking, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Hello, I'd like to sing this song now that I composed, Keep the Wheels A-Rolling, to support the Canadian truckers. It's powerful stuff and mighty stuff altogether, and fair play to you, and you've given us all a great lift, and keep it going. Keep the wheels a-rolling, keep the wheels a-rolling, keep the wheels a-rolling, roll them into town. On a cold winter's morning, sleet and snow were falling, the convoy is forming, soon be on its way. On the trucks the flags are flying, no more bull are they buying, people waving and crying as they rock the motorway. Keep the wheels a-rolling, keep the wheels a-rolling, keep the wheels a-rolling, roll them into town. Ottawa, we're coming, hear those mighty engines humming.